everyone. My name's Anna. I'm the president of Stratus Insurance, and welcome to our podcast, Stratus Fashion. It's our fourth episode, and I know it's been a while in the making, but welcome to our fourth podcast. And this one is, we've been thinking and brainstorming of some ideas, and we figured that we have a lot of clients and a lot of prospects that really don't know the coverage. So this is an episode or series of I Bet You Don't Know. And this is this is the episode for home insurance. We're going to be doing some auto and some commercial and life as well. And what we thought about doing is breaking it down to, of course, there's some of you that own a home. There's some of you that rent a home or rent a condo. And of course, there's some that own a condo or a townhouse. So we had a coverage for practically everybody. So I want to welcome Sean and Ling, who is part of my personal lines department. We have Sonal too, that is supposed to be here, but she is in somewhere nice and sunny on vacation. So she's here in spirit. So first of all, I figured let's talk about something that's of interest to clients. That a lot of clients actually don't know about. So who wants to go first to talk about earthquake deductible? Do you want to go, Sean?
My name is Sean. So I'm a personal line advisor in Stratus. So let's go over. So some people will just question, why do I need to buy an earthquake insurance if I have a condo? Because like my Strata probably have their own insurance and that is covered, isn't it, right? So what we want to know, and let's say like many people, yeah, I don't care about earthquake damage my personal properties because yeah, if there's an earthquake, then we probably, yeah, I don't need that. We'll be just replacing my personal properties, something like that. So I probably don't want an earthquake insurance, but there's actually more after that. So let's talk about the earthquake deductible. So based on like normal condo insurance that you have, it's going to be you're going to pay for the percentage of deductible, usually about 15% in market. So earthquake is also applied to the strata policy. So let's say your building, the whole building, I just make it up. So the whole building costs $1 million to rebuild. So There is absolutely, when you look into your strata policy, there's a percentage that your strata need to pay. Same as you. So who is going to pay that deductible? Strata? Not possible, right? They don't have that much money. So they are coming after each unit owner. And do you know how much you have to pay for your own personal part? That is the interest that many people doesn't know. And so buying an earthquake coverage is actually essential point to extend that coverage to qualify, to eligible for you to have that cover as well. So this is why we want to buy earthquake coverage, even if we are a condo owner.
So yeah? Basically the summary of that is earthquake coverage is not standard in the policy. It's not automatic. It is an additional coverage to be purchased, right?
That's right.
And
that's
most, right. I'm sorry. That's right. And if it's earthquake coverage, usually it's the earthquake coverage is a deductible buy down. Is that correct? If there's earthquake coverage and there's earthquake deductible, earthquake coverage and earthquake deductible.
That's right. So yeah, some insurance company, so only if you buy your own earthquake coverage, then you're at least eligible to buy earthquake buy down coverage. So that is the earthquake buy down coverage is going to help you to pay for what Strata is going to pay for their deductible. And every is not like fully covered sometimes, even for some insurance companies. So insurance company product varies a lot. So some of them is not having fully covered. And some of them can help you to fully cover, but you have to know how much is your portion to be. So that this is what we are calculating, like helping our clients to solo well while we are doing a renew for you. So we always ask for one in the strata policy, we also ask for how much is your unit entitlement will be.
Yeah, and in my experience, because I've been doing this since the 1800s, and ever since in the beginning when we did earthquake insurance, it was earthquake insurance, and we really didn't have to spend time looking at a straddle policy, right? Because the earthquake insurance was sufficient to cover the strata deductible a long time ago. But over the years, both water and earthquake deductibles have gone up significantly. It's skyrocketed, right? And because it skyrocketed, like, what are some of the deductibles that you've seen per unit owner that they're responsible for if there was a big, let's say, earthquake and it damaged the building? What was the strata deductible that you guys saw? And for each unit owner to be, what's the amount that each unit owner is responsible for? Do you know, Ling? I think you said it was pretty high.
Hi, everybody. This is Ling. I'm the personal line advisor from Starlight Insurance. To answer your question, Anna, from my set of view, I saw like anything between 25K to like up to more than 100K per unit. Depends on the strata policy itself and also the percentage, the deductible percentage. So it's a big amount that customer might be shared if there's any earthquake.
Yeah, so it's been as high as $100,000 per unit owner that they're responsible for if there is a necessary strata deductible to be paid. But what I see as well is it's gone even higher than that. There's been deductibles that have gone beyond $100,000. Is that correct?
Yes, that's possible. Yes.
Yeah, to $250,000, yeah. I think. Some of the, and it's happening more and more often, which is why it is so important that you guys, when you look at your insurance policy, that you know what type of coverage that you have, so you know what coverage you don't have. So this piece is really, really important. The earthquake coverage is obviously to cover earthquake, right? But there's a deductible that the strata policy has that every unit owner is responsible for, and that's on your strata policy. And so if you look at your insurance policy, it'll say on the policy earthquake deductible, or sorry, earthquake strata deductible. Is that correct? Is that how it would show on the policy? And it's important that you guys take a look and compare that to your strata policy of what you're responsible for. Your advisor typically will look at the strata policy now anyways, and to make sure that the two policies align, to make sure that you have sufficient coverage. And so if you don't have sufficient coverage, Sean, what then would happen?
They may be creating a gap between what strata is asked you to pay and what the insurance is covering. So there is a gap that will be 100% out of your own pocket if you don't have that coverage.
Now, this has been a concern for a lot of brokers, and it's a concern for us, because how many clients would you think, or even in the industry, have insufficient coverage?
Yeah, for what I can see, it's like more than, I think, 60% of customer who doesn't have enough earthquake strata deductible, because the reason, one is that customers sometimes don't know how does that work, and another reason is that those carrier doesn't provide enough. Actually, even the customer wants that one, maybe the carrier, their insurance company, doesn't provide that amount for the customer. Let's say usually they will only cover like 2,500 or 25K. That's the topics that they can cover. So in that case, customer can look for like other carrier to see if they can carry as much as possible.
Okay, so did you say 40%?
I think 60%.
Okay, so 60% have it, 40% do not. Is that correct?
Yeah, 40% is because a lot of customers, after we tell them how does this work, they're willing to purchase the extra coverage for their unit to cover that deductible, but still 60% coverage on the market, they don't have enough coverage for that one.
Then here's a segue into the next part of the topic of earthquake, is the deductible buy-down coverage. Because now there's type of a third type of coverage that you were talking about when it comes to earthquake, because now you have strata coverage, you have your condo policy coverage, and then there is this coverage to react to the changing strata deductibles. Now they have something called a deductible buy down, both for water and earthquake, but we're going to focus on earthquake today. So the term is called earthquake deductible buy down. And so, Ling, do you want to explain to everybody what deductible buy down is?
For earthquake deductible buy down, it's something like a react to your dwelling itself, not your unit, because we all know that our condo coverage has two policy. One is strata policy, another to cover your building, and another one is the condo policy cover your units, like anything inside that unit, like your personal contents. For the earthquake deductible buy down coverage, is that we have to pay certain amount when there is a claim after the earthquake. If we needed to rebuild that dwelling, that the insurance company, the strata policy also has itself has the deductible. So they want us to cover if there's anything under the deductible amount. Let's see if your strata policy has like 10 millions for the in to rebuild the entire building. And in that policy, you have like a 15% of deductible will be shared to each unit owner. Then when we calculate, we will just do the to use the amount to cover the entire building times the percentage we have to pay. And then if that dwelling has like 60 units in that dwelling, and then we have to like divide it to each unit to see how much our customer needs to pay and to have our contents policy to cover that amount. In case anything happened to that dwelling, then our customer being shared that amount will, if we have that coverage, your customer will be covered. And this also brings me to another concept of unit entitlement. Because the unit entitlement is like specifically tell us our customer how much our customer has to pay. And then if we only calculate by average, then sometimes let's say our customer's unit is very small or very big, and an average amount won't be either be overinsured or be underinsured. So better we have customer or even you, the customer can ask the strata company to provide them unit entitlement. Usually will be in your like condo meeting, like those documents, they can send it to you or for us to review and to decide how much exactly your unit will be shared in a claim during the earthquake to rebuild that building.
An example would be if I have a condo policy.
Yeah.
And my condo policy, of course, has earthquake coverage, and the strata, the earthquake deductible on the policy is not enough to pay for the strata deductible after a claim. Then deductible buy down is what's going to top it up to pay for the rest of that deductible. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it like in
Yeah.
brief
So if I
terms,
have a
yes, you can say.
$25,000 earthquake deductible for my condo policy, I have a and my strata deductible is 100,000, which is very common nowadays. That deductible buy down policy is responsible for the $75,000.
That's right, that's right. But keep it clear that that's not how it called like an earthquake deductible, but earthquake strata assessment deductible assessment to cover that
Yes.
gap.
So I hope everybody understands what that is. I know we kind of went a little bit lengthy on that coverage, only because it's really important to us that you guys understand what earthquake coverage is. It is in the in every sense. Remember, typically, if you for water and earthquake coverage, you're going to end up having three types of coverage, right? Strata policy, condo policy, and very likely nowadays a deductible buy-down policy, which yes, you pay for extra premium, but the alternative is you're going to pay for a lot of money if the building has a claim and there's a deductible that the strata has to pay, then you have to pay out of pocket, and it's a big chunk of change. The next thing that my team wanted to talk about is to really narrow down what scheduled items is, I think this is a coverage that is very grossly underinsured and very misunderstood. So, Sean, do you want to talk about what scheduled items is on a condo policy?
So scheduled item is actually we have to take one step back to our basic personal properties coverage. So in personal property coverage, many people just by seeing the decoration on the policy, it's just say an amount which you wish to purchase, let's say $60. But actually there's a sub limit in the policy. But that how you have to look in the wordings, which I believe most of people won't do. So actually they have a target to some of the category, which if they're going, they only will pay a maximum amount out of it. They call a sub limit. So most companies see it's like jewelry. So jewelry, if you, let's say that jewelry is worth 50,000, but actually the sub limit only got 30,000 on your policy, and it varies a little bit from different insurance company, so that's why we have to look for it. So if that jewelry is more than the sub limit coverage, if you don't have a scheduled item when your jewelry is suffering a loss, that the insurance will say, okay, the maximum I'll pay you is 30,000. That 20,000 you're out of your own pocket. So when you reschedule the item, then they will have also have to do appraisal. It is really good to understand what the policy having on some sub-limit. So, and if you have anything that you think is high value that you want to schedule them, so get them properly covered. So, in some of the very different cases, there is so many different things. Let's say a very valuable handbags. So maybe some people own a few of the Hermes handbag. It's actually quite funny that some of the insurance company able to incur that in the personal cover, personal co property cover. Some of the insurance company actually have a limit on it. So if you are not aware of it, then you probably there may be a potential gap on your coverage. So that would be what schedule item for. So scheduling item is involving leasing them individually on your insurance policy, and they are often appraised and there is a declared value on that item. So this is actually apply to whatever home owner, like a detached house, not even a condo owner. It's also applied to homeowner. And also tenant, if you have a tenant, if you have a, let's say I'm just renting a place, but I do have a few high value item with me, so do I need to schedule them? Yes, if your sublimit is going to cover, then your best way is to schedule them. Yes.
Yeah, I also wanted to correct. I said it on a condo policy, but schedule items actually apply to every policy, even a home, if you own a home. But from what I understand, you have to be a little bit more careful with a condo policy or a tenant policy than a home. And you're right, you had the example of a client who had an Hermes, who had a collection of Hermes bags, who typically we think that it would be covered under personal property, and there's no limit of coverage. But we discovered that specific companies might consider an Hermes bags or high value bags as collectibles, right? So it's really important that if you have high valued items, right, whether it's art, it doesn't have to be limited to just jewelry, but anything that's high value in your home or very unique, that is, it's almost irreplaceable. It's important to discuss that with your broker, because it may not fall under personal property, just regular contents coverage or personal property.
I just want to add for regarding the limit. So different company has different limits, but also this coverage is very important to not only for home or condo or anything. It's important to home, condo, and a tenant. Everything's the same. So all company has specific limits to those valuable item. It's just a when it goes to appraisal, if you have a jewelry, just remember to keep your receipt, to keep your pictures in case if there's any loss or damage to that item, so we can like a property to send it to the insurance company for the claim.
So the next policy, so we just talked about condo insurance, some condo coverage, and then we dabbled on the scheduled items. The next thing is tenant insurance. So people who are renting, a lot of them actually think that they don't need insurance, but the reality is they need to insure themselves, even if they're just renting a place, and even if the owner of that place has their own insurance. A couple of the key insurances that we wanted to talk about is something called additional living expense.
So additional living expense, what this mean is refer to your coverage that help the policyholder if there's a loss and you're not able to reside in the location, then you probably need to move out and you have to rent a place to do. So that would be covering the additional cost they may incur when they're temporarily forced to live elsewhere due to a coverage loss of damage in on their properties. So this is like some of the key coverage that you may need. Let's say my unit, I'm renting that unit, and my unit suffering. Maybe my upstairs get water damage, and then this front my unit as well. Then I couldn't live it because the restoration work need to do, right? And then I need to move out. But probably the restoration company say the work will probably take maybe 3 weeks to do. So I. Probably that period of time, I couldn't find any other location instantly, but you need that, right? So mostly what will you end up is in the hotel, right? So additional living expense is going to pay for your hotel, like because your cost staying in the hotel, but more. Now let's say, am I able to cook in the hotel room? No, probably not, right? So that is also included. So food and transportation cost is also included in that. So I have to dine out somewhere because I couldn't go in a hotel room. So that is something reasonable. And I may need to find a storage because I how big a hotel room can be. So I may need to find a temporary storage to store my personal belongings. And that is also calculating in the additional living expenses. And also like do I need to do laundry? I cannot do laundry in a hotel room. Probably not again, right? So then those are causes that maintain my living standard while I'm not able to reside in that unit. So this is what additional living expense will be.
It's funny you mentioned flood, Sean, because it's I would say the number one claim that insurance companies have. And of course, where we live in Vancouver, there's so much rain and there's so many problems with water. And so when people think that there's a flood, be it from pipes or from rain or whatever it is, when there's water damage, and it can be pretty extensive. Oftentimes, it's months, right? Because we have a colleague, Ling, who's had a claim, and she was out of the building. There was a fire, and then the sprinklers went off, I think. And then there's so much water damage that it took over a year for the building to be fixed. So what does that mean? Now they have to find a place, even if it's renting, for over 12 months. And I think it ended up being 18 months. So the problem is that a lot of people don't think about situations like that. So they just have the standard coverage, right? The standard additional living expense. But the reality is this amount should be way higher because the standard one doesn't cover you a whole lot.
Yeah, so usually the insurance company only provide like 40% of the contents limit to tenant, and some of them even only 20%. So it's very low. Let's say you have 30K contents, and then you only when there's a claim you have to move out, you only have like $6,000 for the entire time like you waiting for your landlord to fix that unit. So it's very So we need to be careful. Either we purchase the extra one. If we don't allow it to be purchased the extra one, we have to increase our content limit in order to have enough additional living expense.
So that is such a key coverage. And so all of you guys that have tenant insurance or even condo insurance, it is really important that now what additional living expenses is to review it and look at what you have. The next piece of information that we find is very important is liability coverage, which seems really obvious. But why would a tenant need liability coverage, especially if the owner of the house or condo or townhouse already has insurance.
The liability for tenant, actually most of the landlord knows that the most important coverage for the tenant in their unit is for liability. If the tenant accidentally, or he has the obligation, or he has accidentally damaged the rented property, let's say if they set a fire, like accidentally, like fire, like burn this house, our liability will cover that. So in case that happens, if a tenant has a liability to responsible for that damage. So the most important coverage for a tenant, to both the tenant and the landlord, is the liability.
So again, I mean, I think it's standard coverage for policies.
Yeah, minimum $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can increase, depends on the situation, we can increase to $2 million. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so little. So for us, we always recommend for everybody to just max that out to the highest liability, because you just never know. The premium is such a small difference. I think it's sometimes like 20, not even. So let's move on for homeowners. So people who own a home, these are a couple of the pieces of coverage that we thought was really important for you to understand. So in general, though, you won't see this in your individual policy. You'll see one of this coverage, or maybe two. We wanted to talk about the difference between guaranteed replacement costs and replacement cost. And then there's kind of the side note of actual cash value.
I will just go with the guaranteed replacement cost first. This is like obviously the best coverage you can get. So guaranteed replacement cost is based on a evaluation. When you ask for an insurance, we all have to do an evaluation of your building. How much is this going to cost today to rebuild your building? But based on that, because from time changes, that may be a little bit different, right? We're all suffering from inflation right now. So all the labor costs, material costs all goes up. So even like, insurance company may be adjusting that amount by adding a little bit more. So that is everybody right coming, why is my insurance a little bit expensive this year? Yeah, because they're actually helping you to apply the inflation on that. So to make sure you're still in, there's no gap to rebuild that cost. So guarantee replacement cost based on that will, as in case of a total loss, if you need to rebuild that building, including cleaning out all the debris, then it would be about 125% of what you are covered. Let's say if that building, when we do erosion, is worth $1 million, and then it's suffering a total loss. But today's building cost to rebuild the same building, same standards, same functional building with the same material, it will, let's say, take up to 1.1 million. So your coverage only say, oh, I got a 1 million, but this is a guaranteed replacement cost right now. So even though it takes 1.1 million to rebuild that house, insurance company is going to pay for that. So this is what guaranteed replacement cost will be.
That's great. So guaranteed replacement cost, and now for the same example, 1.1 million to rebuild for a $1 million home. If it was replacement costs for a $1 million home, what would it be?
Yeah, so for replacement costs, so let's say guaranteed replacement costs usually cover up to 125%, but replacement costs, it just helps you to build. So let's say, same example, I have a $1 million replacement cost on my building, and I'm suffering a total loss today. Repayment cost is just help you to rebuild that building with maximum 1 million. So
call on the trades once it hits 1 million. You have to cover yourself.
Yeah. So if you want to do upgrade, yes, that's fine. Then you have to pay out of your pocket. But based on that 1 million, they may have to use different material in order to match that price.
Guaranteed replacement cost is guarantees you the building of a new home, but a maximum to 125% for the most part, right? And then there's replacement costs that will give you just what the valuation says. If it was $1 million, maximum is $1 million. Anything over that, it would be out of pocket. or you can budget for that and choose different materials so that it falls within that. And then there's something kind of on a side note, like I said, it's called actual cash value, or ACV, we call it.
Oh, actually, I wanted to bring back a little bit regarding the replacement cost, because
Okay.
there's something very important that we have to remind our customer. So even we have the GRC, guaranteed replacement cost, this has condition that when you do evaluation, you have to make sure you evaluate 100% of the dwelling value itself. And
Yeah.
also you have to keep the same amount the insurance company give to you when it comes to renewal. Let's say this year we quote you as 1 million, and next year insurance company increase that amount to 1.1 million. And then customers sometimes thinking, oh, I can I just go back to the 1 million, because I think why do
Cheaper
I
premium.
need to do that? Yeah.
Yes.
So in the case of a claim, if the customer confirm that I only need 1 million, maybe this guarantee GRC will be lost, because you don't want to insure, because those GRC is based on you insure the entire dwelling value into that policy. And also you like a confirm you will renew at the amount insurance company give to you. So just be careful to anytime you wanted to down like decrease your dwelling value that insurance company give to you. So it's kind of risky. And
Yes.
also for the replacement cost, it's actually sometimes we have to notice that sometimes your dwelling just doesn't fit the category to give you the GRC coverage, because your dwelling is too old, or your dwelling is like a rented dwelling. Usually insurance company will only give you the replacement cost. So in that case, you have to be very careful about the evaluation you got from your insurance broker. So let's say they give you the lower premium to give you the lower like replacement cost in that policy. In the case of to rebuild that house, the insurance company will only give you that up to that amount. For ACV, I will just continue for the ACV. So ACV, most of the time, I think is referred to this certain part of the house, like your roof is too old, and the insurance company even give the GRC, they will say, oh, due to the age of your roof, you only can get the ACV's actual cash value. That is something like replacement cost minus any depreciation during the time of the claim happens. If your declaration shows ACV to a certain item, you needed to ask your brokerage to see if I can increase like an update, like my water tank, my roof, to make sure in the claim, my roof or my water tank still be like a covered, fully covered replacement cost, not the ACV.
So what if my house was old? So let's say, or not, I wouldn't say old. It's older than 25 years. So let's say it's a 40-year-old home, non-heritage home. What would be covered? Would it be replacement costs, guaranteed replacement costs with
So,
ACV?
yeah, will be depends on your insurance company's wording. So what I experienced is that even with a very old dwelling and there is ACV there, you just look a little bit more detail of that declaration. Usually they will add back to as a replacement cost, even your dwelling is too old.
So
Yeah.
not like too old in the eyes of the insurance company, not us, just for the record.
That's right.
But typically for an older home older than 25 years, there is no guaranteed replacement cost. Do you, in your experience,
That's
usually it's
right.
replacement costs with like the roof and the hot water tank and other items that are actual cash value, right?
Yeah, so if your dwelling is too old, most likely will be replacement cost. And also you have to look into those detail to the certain parts, like the roof
Right.
or water damage. So to make sure you have the replacement cost on your dwelling, and also better to update your dwelling to get back that replacement cost.
That's great. That's a really good explanation. Thanks, Lane. For
So,
now, I know, Sean, you wanted to talk about the service line, and this is something that is very rarely talked about. I think more so it's been talked about lately than it has been in the past. The coverage, it will show on a policy, it will say service line.
service line is usually an optional coverage. What service line is means is like when you have a detached building, usually means detached building. Doesn't really matter for condo. So for detached building, so your land size is usually bigger than your house size. Then probably there is some piping, not including water. but also including like network, electricity, something like that, to from the city side goes on your premises and then into your house. So who is going to be responsible for the part inside your premises? Yes, you. So this is what service line is going to be. So if there's any damage, even though it's like wire cable over the head, overhead cable, or even sewer underneath your ground, as far as those are still in your premises, you are responsible for any damage you have to take care of them. So don't expect the city will do it for you. The city won't. So they will just find which part is having the problem. If there's a loss, they will just dig up the whole piping, or if that's needed, then they will see, oh, that part is actually in your premises, then you have to pay for it. So this is how service line will kick in if you have this coverage.
But some companies, they offer more coverage. You actually have the option to increase it, right?
We can ask for that if they want to
Yes.
increase it. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying is the service line, what a service line is a line, whether it be a water, sewage, it could be cable, but a line that extends from right outside your house all the way out to the city line, right? So there's still your property line, even though it's outside of your house. That line, oftentimes, when something happens and there's a peril, those things get damaged and needs to repair. It is actually up to you, out of pocket, if you don't have this coverage, to have it repaired, right? So the service line coverage will cover you for that. And there's some companies I know will offer higher coverage, and some are just a standard amount.
5 to 25K.
Yeah, sometimes up to
Usually will
25.
cover, yeah. Usually will
Yeah.
be 10K, yeah.
And you'd be surprised how expensive it can be, because remember, some things are the like the water lines or the sewage lines, it's in ground, and imagine the labor that it takes to dig up and the type of trades that have to come in to actually repair it. It can go really high really fast. So that's why it's always good to look at what the coverage you have and really consider bringing it higher. Lastly, this is something I really wanted to talk about. This is something that I would want to know about because, first of all, we live in Vancouver. We live in a really rainy city. Water is a really big peril for us. And what I find when I'm looking at not just our policies, when we look at outsiders' policies, we will help our clients review policies that aren't done through us. And oftentimes I will see that they don't have specific water coverage. So this is, I would love for my team to explain what the coverage is. So there was mention that there are three kind of main coverages when it comes to water. There's a clear water or fresh water, they call it. There's overland water coverage, and there's sewer backup coverage.
So actually, the overland water or clear water, sometimes we can all call them clear water. But for when we talk about clear water or fresh water, primarily we like refer to the water burst from your inside pipeline. So some like you didn't pay attention and your pipeline burst out, or like in the this very cold winter time, your pipeline just burst out. So the water. Clear water comes out and damage your dwelling or your contents. This will be in your primary policy or your basic coverage. So the coverage showing on top section of your policy declaration. And also the sewer backup also comes in from your house. That is like from your bathroom, and there is something you didn't like blocked. Bathroom and water has been blocked, and then the water comes out to also damage your dwelling, or your contents will be covered from the sewer backup. And the other is the overland water. So overland water, actually we have to look into different companies' definitions. So some company had their definition has slightly different. Sometimes there was a groundwater or overland water. Overland water mainly refers to the water that flows over the land surface, typically as results of heavy rainfall, melting snow, or other weather-related events. So this can accumulate and move across the ground, potentially causing flood or damage to the properties. The The things we have to remember is that for the fresh water, you already covered in your base coverage. So whenever you have a home insurance and then they give you coverage and then they say it's an all risk coverage or even sometimes a special risk, and still this water and fire will be included in that base coverage. But for the overrun water and also the sewer backup, you have to add that as an optional coverage. So sometimes the customer will say, oh, I live in a very high ground and then I don't need this or I don't need that. Just be careful. You have to be like, make sure if there's any chance that your home will be like damaged by those kind of a period. So if anything happens, if it's come to like overrun water and you don't have it and everything, you have to be paid out of your pocket. So overrun water is a very important coverage, especially for lower mainland area. Especially when from last year, I believe last year, I think before last year, we have a very big claim during the overrun water from the Chilliwack area. So that's why people are come to like realize that overrun water is very, very important. And also the good
Did you
news is
say
that
Chilliwack? Did you say
Chilliwack,
Chilliwack? Oh yeah, there were
Chilliwack,
houses floating away or cars floating away. I remember that.
A lot of customers come to us and ask if I do I have this coverage, if the water come to our house, if I covered, and someone doesn't have. But good news is that some company does provide a package to cover, so their water coverage cover both the overrun water and the sewer backup. Sewer backup, just be pay attention if your area has been covered, because they is also defined by the company by its area. So if you are in a high risk area, just that be careful, better to looking for a company who can cover you from the overland water. Because sometimes company won't provide you that coverage because you're on the high risk area. In that case, we're still looking for other company to give you that coverage.
Something to figure out. So, some coverage of this is actually because like water is kind of unpredictable. So it is actually important to have them all covered. So why is that? So in case there's some loss happen, so the adjuster, they have to find a place that why this loss happened. So let's say if I have a case, then the client have a sewer backup, but they don't want the overland water because they don't think they need that. And then when there's a loss happen and the adjuster come in and say, okay, it seems that this water loss looks like a sewer backup loss. So because of like a very, very heavy rain and the soil couldn't just absorb everything. And then it's actually overland water contribute to
Yes.
a sewer backup
Yes.
and sewer backup in your home, and
Yes.
you don't have a overland water coverage, your claim may be denied.
Yes.
Yeah, it's tricky. I have to say
It
it's
is
tricky,
tricky. Yes. And we're
but
not special,
yeah.
we don't specialize in claims, but in our experience, that has happened, right?
Right.
Yeah, that is a good point. So even if you have a sewer backup, it had to do with something about the sewage system and it's backed up, but it was caused by an outside source like overland water or something like that. If you don't have the overland water coverage, you won't have you won't they won't cover you oftentimes. And I wanted to preface that, I should have prefaced that earlier, about clear or fresh water and overland coverage. They're kind of similar but different, but both the similarity is they both are coverage for fresh water only. It's not ocean water or salt water. Anything else you guys wanted to add?
I think we are really doing a lengthy section today.
We did
Yeah.
agree to keep to the point. We did. But I know the great thing about Ling and Sean is they really want to elaborate. When you call them, they want to be very specific and educate you. And that's the whole mission for Stratus is, we earn your trust through educating and empowering you. That's why we do these podcasts. And so I hope you can, there's some takeaways for you. When it comes to listening to this podcast, you guys are feeling empowered to look at your policy, to do a review, or at least just call your advisor. Hopefully it's us to review your policy so that we can coach you into what it is that's important. And we're here to offer best protection. We want our clients to get the best protection, not the best premiums. It's not necessarily the best. I get that you want to omit coverage sometimes because it's a little bit more expensive. but it doesn't give you the best protection. And it is always, we don't have a crystal ball, right? So it's really for all situations unpredicted. So thank you, Ling, and thank you, Sean, for
Thank
joining
you.
this podcast. It's your first podcast, so
Yep,
exciting.
thank you for having us.
Yes, no
Thank you.
problem. And we will hopefully talk to you again in our next podcast. And we'll probably end up talking about auto or commercial, Sean. I know you're going to be doing some commercial as well, so we're going to be looking to you for it. Maybe even some life and living benefits. So thank you guys, and we'll talk soon.
Thank
Bye.
you.